My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Our mindset regarding this game is kind of a unique one, probably, because we're trying to get the best of both worlds. This is our third preseason game, and historically the third preseason game has been a dry rehearsal, if you will, for the regulars. And we have that mentality. That's why we did the simulation work week. But also it has some, you know, some characteristics of the old fourth preseason game, because it's the last opportunity for some men to state a case for themselves, to find jobs, to define roles, to show what they're capable of. But we got a desire maybe to move on from some known regulars rather quickly to provide an opportunity for others to show what they're capable of in respect to the old fourth preseason game model. And so we'll manage it. We'll play it by ear. A lot of our transitional things in terms of the amount of play that people will get will be determined by quality of play of individuals and of units. And so, you know, I know you guys will probably have questions about how we intend to distribute reps, and that's why I took the time to kind of outline it. It's not etched in stone. We want our regulars to find some rhythm, to use it as a dry rehearsal, but then we want to move on and provide as many opportunities as we can for others to show what they're capable of.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy to have you on this Friday, and a jam-packed Friday we've got for you. Brian Batko, Post-Gazette Steelers writer at 7. Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette at 8 o'clock. These guys are all over the Steelers. I got different stuff to talk to each of them about. Looking forward to it. Bob Pompiani going to be on the call tomorrow, 1 p.m. on Channel 2. And then Dan Zangrilli, he's got the KDKA High School Football Classic tonight and tomorrow. He's doing play-by-play. We'll talk to him at 9:35. Tons of football. Paul Skeens great yesterday, and the Penguins made a trade. So a jam-packed, and I dare say fun, Friday show planned for you. And Mike Tomlin talked so long there that the music ran out. And he did so, and you heard him at the end. I am going to tell you now what I'm going to do, because I know you're going to have questions. Basically there, if you're reading between the lines, I'm going to tell you so you don't ask me, so I don't have to talk to you as long as you want me to talk to you. But Mike Tomlin's looking at this game tomorrow against the Lions as a dress rehearsal of sorts. Now, Dan Campbell's Mr. Bite Your Kneecaps Off, Mr. Hard Nose, Mr. Tough Guy, has done a great job changing that culture in Detroit. Can you believe that? Detroit's where they are, and the Steelers are where they are. He's not playing his guys tomorrow. He's not looking at this as a dress rehearsal. So you're going to see the Steelers starters against backups for the Lions. Couple things there. One, it better mean you perform well offensively. Russ Wilson better be throwing strikes Broderick Jones better not be getting pushed around. If George Pickens plays, I want to see him make plays. Pat Freiermuth, Van Jefferson, your ones against their not ones. The offense can't look the way that it's looked the last two games. Can't happen. I don't want to make too much of those first two games, and I think we've threaded that needle appropriately here on the Fan Morning Show. There are reasons for concern, but there's not reasons, I don't think, for panic. This game's different to me, though. They've game-planned a little bit for this game. They ran a mock week this week for the game. This was not just, or is not just going to be a dress rehearsal game. It's been a dress rehearsal week. And so when you got all that going for you, and they're playing nobody, you have to go out there and do some good things. And if they don't, it might not be panic time on Monday, but we'll be getting at least closer to panic time. So who needs to play? Who doesn't need to play? 412-928-9370. That's how you get in touch with the show on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That's also the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And you can tweet me at underscore Adam Crowley, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Does Russ Wilson need to play? I think Mike Tomlin was kind of hypocritical in his comments yesterday. He was asked about Cordarrelle Patterson and if he needs to see that guy return kicks. And he said no, because his resume speaks for itself. But Russ Wilson needs to play? Doesn't Russ have a resume that also speaks for itself? So a little double talk, a little hypocriticalness from Mike Tomlin yesterday. I will say that, yeah, I do think Russ needs to play, however. You need to see something out of him. You need to see what he looks like when the offense is as close to looking like a regular season offense as it will in any of these three games. I mentioned their game planning for this one a little bit. I think that means that they'll show a little bit more offensively. They're not going to let all their secrets, all their cats out of the bag. You're not going to see a bunch of avant-garde or creative stuff. But I do think you might see Russ Wilson get out there on the edge on a boot. You might have him running naked. You might see Russ have decisions to make in the running game. What I mean by that is RPO stuff, maybe. You might get to see some read option, maybe. And I want to see that. Because it seems to me, just hearing Arthur Smith from earlier in the week, that if it were up to the coaching staff, Russell Wilson would not have played the last preseason game because they do want to be careful with him in that calf. Well, now it's time to get that bubble wrap off him and see what he can do and if he's fully able to operate this offense. So I would say, yeah, Russ does need to play, but not a lot. Not a lot. Series or two, not beyond a quarter. And Mike Tomlin says that the performance is going to dictate how long guys are in there. I don't know that I'd go that far. I think I'd be hard and fast on just how long I'd have guys play. Tomlin's going to see how the game goes. No, I'd cap it for Russ. Does Justin Fields need to play? I would say yes. He's your backup quarterback. Maybe you're going to have packages for him in the regular season. You don't want either of those guys to play too long. This should be the Kyle Allen game for the entire second half and maybe longer than that. But Justin Fields looked just like the Justin Fields that we thought the Steelers were getting from Chicago. The guy you saw on tape the last 3 years who can run around but also make some questionable decisions, I think he's been on full display these first few games. Can he show that with another game under his belt, with Arthur Smith, with this offense, that he is an arrow-pointed up guy? I'd like to see him. The offensive line absolutely needs to play. And it hurts me to say stuff like that because I don't want to see any player get injured in a meaningless exhibition game. But if the Steelers are to be a playoff team this year, and that is the first hurdle they have to clear on their route to reaching the ultimate goal, which every year for them they say is a championship, then this offensive line needs to gel faster than the offensive line has in each of the last two seasons. Now, 2 years ago, late, they played well. Kenny didn't turn the ball over, and they rushed the ball effectively. Last year, they ran the ball effectively down the stretch. It helped push them into the playoffs. This year, their schedule is too hard to turn it on late. They need this offensive line, which is as talented as it's been in a long time, to get closer to reaching its ceiling. And hell, right now, they're probably at the floor. There's no doubt this line's more talented. But the offensive line, more than any position unit in football, needs to grow together, to coalesce, and to gel. So you got to put them out there. And when I said there are reasons for panic, reasons for concern, the biggest one to me is Broderick Jones. You're not going to be playing studs. You're playing backups. You need him to go out, frankly, and maul these backups. Pass protection, run blocking, both. He needs to look demonstrably better than backups do. Because it's year two and he was a first-round pick you traded up for. Those guys need to play. They need to gel. And Broderick needs to show that last week was a hiccup. Beanie Bishop needs to play. He's listed as their starting nickel. If they needed to play a game next week that mattered, they might go out and try to get somebody else. Because he's been banged up, didn't play the last preseason game. He's an undrafted rookie. All-American last year, an undrafted rookie. If he doesn't play well in this game, he's not going to be the starter. And if he doesn't play in this game, he's not going to be the starter. So he needs to play. Mike Tomlin said that they've limited his reps so that he can play in the game because they weigh the in-stadium results more than the in-practice results. He needs to play, and he needs to play well if he wants to hold down and lock down that nickel corner spot. I would not play, and I think Tomlin is going to play these guys, Watt, Cam, Minka, JPJ, Patrick Queen, or Deshaun Elliott. I don't need to see any of these Steelers defensive guys. None of them. Joey Porter Jr. has been dealing with something, and the corner that the Steelers drafted last year, Trice, he's been getting reps with the ones. So you don't want to exasperate whatever Joey Porter Jr. is dealing with because the depth behind him at corner, no good. And I think the other guys, it goes without saying, you don't need to play him. TJ Watt going out, it does nothing for him. Patrick Queen, I think, is going to be a stud. I thought he was really good last week. I don't need to see any more from him. None of those guys. Minka, come on. And then offensively, I know I said I want to see Russ dominate against backups. I want to see Justin Fields show that his arrow's pointed up. I think they need to do that without Pickens, Najee Harris, and Pat Freiermuth. George Pickens is your number one wide receiver. If he goes down, Van Jefferson's your number one wide receiver. I don't think there needs to be much explaining there. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are 1A, 1B running back. Jaylen Warren might not be ready for week one. You can't throw Najee Harris out there because if he gets nicked up, now Cordarrelle Patterson is your running back week one against Atlanta. Nobody wants to see that except for maybe Cordarrelle Patterson. And then Pat Freiermuth is your second best receiving threat. There's no reason to play him in this game. You lose him, who's your next best tight end? Darnell Washington? He ain't catching footballs. And all of a sudden, all this tight end stuff that you know Arthur Smith wants to do goes right out the window. And what's the game? What is Freiermuth going to learn? What is Najee Harris going to learn? What can George Pickens gain? Not much, but everything is to lose. So that's who I'd play. That's who I wouldn't play. Give me a ring at 412-928-9370. Questions, comments, concerns. You tell me who you think needs to be out there and who doesn't need to be out there. Up next, we'll hear from you a little bit. And Mike Tomlin was asked about, in my opinion, the three biggest positions of weakness on this team. None of his responses inspired confidence for me. And I want to know if you hear it the same way. We'll do that next. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by my friends at Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
You know, it's a work in progress. You know, you go through some challenges in terms of player availability. One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. Thomas Graham has been given a lot of opportunity because of some misfortune of others. But we have some position flexibility within our defensive backfield, so it's not a big concern as I stand here today. But again, we're not in that scarcity mindset. We're just in an opportunity mindset. And so it's really about the opportunities that guys get at this juncture.
Mike Tomlin talking about the Steelers' nickel cornerback position. And I'm sorry, that just doesn't inspire any confidence. Beanie Bishop has been in pole position. But does that excite anybody? Look, no one watched more Beanie Bishop last year in this town than me. And he was a hell of a college football player. He was at Minnesota for a while, and they played him in the slot. He played outside at West Virginia. Consensus All-American. Great ball skills. Had more pass defense than any player in college football. Had four interceptions. He was really, really good. And he fits the mold of the Mike Hiltons of the world. The guys that they have historically under Mike Tomlin of late playing that slot position. But he's undrafted, and he went undrafted for a reason. Doesn't mean you can't be good. Willie Parker was undrafted. There's a long list of guys that are undrafted that have had success in the NFL. But he hasn't been practicing. He missed the second preseason game, and that's the leader in the clubhouse? That's no good. It's why I would have liked to see the Steelers go after a guy like Stephon Gilmore. He wasn't going to be a slot guy. But you put him on the outside with JPJ, and then Dante Jackson, who has not played slot in the NFL, but profiled as a slot coming out of college, have him learn a position, get him in there. They are very thin at corner. And if I were to make a prediction, and I shall, because hey, why the hell not? It's a radio show. I'm paid to give opinions. I would guess that it's either Beanie, and it might even be 50-50 here, or some guy that gets cut someplace else who has played like 5-6 years in the league but not been a great player, not been a bad player, who winds up being the Steelers slot corner this year. They got concerns at wide receiver. They got concerns at offensive line. Mike Tomlin was asked who the swing tackle is.
You know, I don't know that we're ready to identify that. We're not in that mode in terms of getting. We're still at 90 trying to get to 53, and so we're not in that mode right now of how we divide up labor within a smaller group. We're just still trying to provide as many opportunities as we can for guys to sort themselves out. That's more of a scarcity of bodies discussion, and we're just not there yet. It's much like tackles that report as eligible and short yardage and so forth. We got 7 tight ends on the roster right now, so that's less of a discussion, but at some point it will be.
I actually buy Mike Tomlin's synopsis there. Now, if everybody's healthy, then, and it all went according to plan, Broderick Jones is your left, Troy Faltanu is your right, Dan Moore Jr. is your swing tackle, Dan Moore Jr. is your tackle eligible guy. But because of the injury to Troy Faltanu, because Dan Moore Jr. apparently can't play the friggin' right side, who's your swing tackle right now? Is it Anderson? He can kind of play everywhere, but I don't know that you want him being your swing tackle. But he'd have to be today because Faltanu's not healthy. The bigger point in all this is that we're about 2 weeks out from game number one. The snaps are real. Everything counts. And your schedule is so tough on the back end, you got to start playing good football. You can't limp into this thing. We are that close, and you can't tell me who your starting tackles are, who's going to play where, who's going to be healthy enough to go, and you can't tell me who your swing tackle is. That's not good. You're too close.
Too close.
To the season to not have answers to those questions. You're too close to the season to not know who your slot cornerback is going to be. And that's why I say my panic meter is not up to 10.
It only goes to 10.
Because of what's happened in the preseason. But there are legitimate concerns. in those two positions, being this close to the season and you not knowing what you're doing there, those are reasons for maybe a little bit of panic. And then, wide receiver. You've got four guys that I think we can all say, write them in pen, they're making this roster. And that is George Pickens, Roman Wilson, obviously, drafted in the third round. He'll be on the roster. He might start on IR, though, according to Ray Fittipaldi of the Post-Gazette. Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin III. That leaves Dez Fitzpatrick, Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins as three guys battling for maybe one spot, maybe two spots. We'll see if they carry more tight ends or wide receivers, whatever. But you don't have confidence, I don't think, beyond George Pickens. And again, you're 2 weeks away from the regular season, just about. What do you think is the Steelers' biggest position of concern right now? 412-928-9370. I asked that question on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement, TrustPJ.com. A lot of people are already writing in quarterback. Yeah, I don't want to go there. They got what they got there, and we know who's going to start. If you are smart, you know who's going to start, and that's Russell Wilson. Those other positions, let's just focus on those for right now. What's your biggest area of concern? 412-928-9370. Rob in Chicago, first up today. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, Crowley. Good morning, man. You know, I got to say that the quarterback and the offense, they've got to play enough to develop some continuity. I mean, these last two games, they've looked like a flaming bag of dog crap.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've got to show some signs of life. And as much as you don't want to get somebody injured, you got to finish this thing on a high note or an upswing and get this ball rolling with these guys. There has to be – they haven't earned the right not to play.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that, Rob. I would still sit Najee. I would still sit Pickens. I would still sit Freiermuth because if those guys get hurt, you're in a world of hurt. And I don't think I'd play really anybody on the defensive side. But I think
– the defense, no, but – you got to get the receivers in sync with Russ or Justin Fields, whoever it's going to be. There's got to be some continuity there, or it's going to be a long season.
I understand where you're coming from. With Pickens in particular, I can't even flirt with that kind of disaster. You know what I mean?
No, if he goes out, we're in real trouble. It's going to be bad.
The Steelers had, according to the 33rd team, Rob, they always do these rankings. They had like the 27th worst receiving core in the NFL. That's with Pickens. You take Pickens away, it's by far the worst receiving core in the NFL. So you just got to be careful there.
This could be a bad season. If things go bad, this could be bad.
Thank you, Rob. I think the Steelers are improved over last year. I think they've had largely a really good offseason. But there are three positions in particular where they just have absolutely no depth. And I would look at defensive line, I would look at cornerback, and I would look at wide receiver. And if Cam Hayward goes down, and he's old, you're in big trouble. If Joey Porter Jr. goes down, you are in big trouble. And if George Pickens goes down, forget about it. You might want to start running the single wing. Much, much more on the Steelers in today's program. Brian Batko, Steelers expert for the Post-Gazette at 7. Chris Carter, a film breakdown guy for the Post-Gazette at 8 o'clock. Bob Pompiani, he'll be on the call tomorrow on Channel 2. He'll be with us at 9. So a bunch on the Steelers. But coming up next, as a general rule of thumb, I do not like to tell sports fans what to do, what to watch, how to spend their money. I am going to make an exception.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Here's a nice text, Callis, at 412-928-9370. God, listening to Crowley makes me want to put my head through drywall. Well, why don't you do us all a favor then? Was that mean? That might be mean.
That was kind of mean.
That's mean. Sorry.
Your voice sometimes does get a little...
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Well, I mean, when you're talking normally, it's comfortable, but when you start doing this and talking like this,
that's how I talk.
That's what happens. Yeah.
That's how I talk.
Sometimes it's a lot.
I'm a loud guy.
Yeah.
I'm just as loud with Doran. There's just less of me. That's all. Don't actually put your head through drywall.
No, don't do that.
No, don't. And I appreciate you listening to begin with, but maybe be a little nicer. Like this guy, Ben, on Twitter, who says, bro, if you actually panic over this, you're weird AF. If you think Tomlin doesn't know the answer and isn't just treating the media like he always does, then you are so dumb, buddy. I'm so happy we're having this nice back and forth, this great discourse on today's show.
I think you need to talk to me a little more.
Well, here's the thing, Callis, as it relates to Ben's problem. Mike Tomlin doesn't have answers to these questions. He does not know, legitimately, who their swing tackle is, and that's mostly due to injury. He doesn't know who their slot corner is, and that's because of roster makeup, and that's also because of Beanie Bishop's injury. Like, those things are real. He might have an idea which way it's slanting. He should. So to that point, I guess I can see what Ben is trying to say on Twitter there. But meet me here at least then, Ben, and listeners. Even if he's got answers, the answers aren't great, and you're only 2 weeks out. And that's no good. I did ask a question on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley, our Twitter poll. Which Steelers position group concerns you the most, O-line, corner, or wide receiver? Corner has only garnered 4% of the vote so far. O-line, 50%, wide receiver with 46%. Here's how I'd tier it. Wide receiver is the position I'm most concerned about because you got Pickens and that's it, and you need to take pressure off of running the football. That's what you want to do this year. It's pretty easy to stack the box, double-team George Pickens right now. So you either need to acquire a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, or one of these guys needs to take a step forward. And it's kind of late in the game for one of these guys to take a step forward. Number two, I would say corner, because I think the rest of the defense can make up for it in ways that the rest of the offense can't necessarily make up for the wide receivers. Like, you're going to get pressure on the quarterback this year. You've got Highsmith, you've got Watt, you've got Herbig, you've got Cam, you've got Benton. You're going to get pressure on the quarterback. I think Peyton Wilson's a good blitzer. I think Patrick Queen's a good blitzer. You're going to be able to stop the run. You're going to be able to get pressure on the cornerback, thus not putting a ton of pressure on your corners. It's still a concern, but less so to me than wide receiver. And then finally, I'm not as concerned about the offensive line. Now, stay with me on this. It's the most important position unit of these three, and I am concerned about Broderick Jones more so than probably any player right now on the roster. But overall, as a unit, they have the talent there. When they can play all the guys they want to at their natural positions, Broderick Jones has the talent to be a stud. Troy Faltanu has the talent to be a stud. Zach Frazier at center has the pedigree, and Sayamalu and Daniels, you're paying a lot for those guys. They're talented. Those other positions, they don't have the talent. And so I am bullish on the offensive line eventually, at some point, figuring it out. I'm not so sure about those other two positions. That's why I would tier it in order of concern: wide receiver, corner, offensive line. How about Paul Skeens last night?
Here's an 0-2, swing and a miss, another strikeout. 9 strikeouts for Skeens.
So Paul Skeens strikes out 9, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk. His ERA now, 2.16. If Paul Skeens qualified, and he doesn't because he's only pitched 104 innings, he would have by far the lowest ERA in all of baseball. Tarik Skubal leads the league in ERA. No, he leads all of Major League Baseball with a 2.49 ERA. Paul Skeens at 2.16. So Skeens leads by a significant margin. Only 4 guys in Major League Baseball have an ERA under 3 in the whole sport. Garrett Crochet leads Major League Baseball in Ks per 9 with 12.59. Again, if Skeens qualified, he'd be 3rd at 11.3. And if Skeens qualified with his 0.94 whip, that's walks and hits per innings pitched, he'd be 3rd in Major League Baseball. There is a legitimate argument to be made that Paul Skeens is already, in year 1, as a rookie, the best starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And so I said going into the break, I don't like to tell people what to do with their time or their money. Just as a general rule of thumb, I think that's bad for a radio host. Like, I called out Pirates fans for booing David Bednar. I wouldn't have done it. Maybe I look bad now because he's not been good. But I didn't tell people don't boo him. Said it's a weak look. Not something I'd do. But I didn't tell people how to behave. I'm not about that. I'm going to give y'all some advice here. If you haven't seen Skeens, go see him. If Skeens were not pitching last night, I'd have watched the game. I love baseball. It's also my job. But 6:40 is generally when I'm putting 2 kids to sleep. And it's chaos. Dinner's done. Dishes need to be done. You got to do a clean up of the house. Get the girls to sleep. I'm feeding the youngest her bottle. And so if I put the Pirate game on a little late, that more likely than not is the way, that's the way it's been more often than not, I should say. Since that 10-game losing streak. I'll put them on when I can. With Paul Skeens, I rush to the TV. You want to soak in every moment of this guy. He's not Garrett Cole-level phenom when Garrett was a rookie. He's so much better than that. Garrett Cole comes in 3.22 ERA. He was solid as hell. This guy's the best pitcher in the sport. So if I were to give some advice, soak it all in. Watch every inning this guy pitches. Watch every pitch this guy throws. And if you've got some disposable income and you love sports, go see him. Because you're probably only going to have 5 years to do it. So get in now. 412-928-9370. Up next, the Penguins made what I would consider to be a big trade yesterday. In fact, they gave up their top prospect. And this is not an organization that has a ton of prospect wealth. So what does it tell us about Kyle Dubas? What does it tell us about his grand plan? We'll talk about that next. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brian Bacco from the Post-Gazette going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. And we're going to go kind of rapid fire with Bacco on some stuff for the preseason finale, and we'll look ahead to the regular season. Who's going to play more, bigger roles on the offense, defense, stuff like that. Looking forward to doing that with Brian Bacco coming up at 7 o'clock. The Penguins made what I would consider to be a very big trade yesterday. And the reason I say it's a very big trade is because they traded away their number one prospect, a guy with star potential, goal-scoring potential in Braden Jaeger. And Penguins fans, at least initially when it all went down yesterday, I thought reacted quite poorly to that news. And I think it's because Penguins fans are smart, and they know that this is not an organization that's rich with prospects. But the player they got back is closer to NHL ready. In fact, he should make the team this year. Braden Jaeger probably a year away. He's also 6'1", over 200 pounds. He goes to the front of the net. He plays a style of hockey that they have so sorely been missing. Braden Jaeger, he's a finesse guy. The guy they acquired is named Rutger McRorty. Now, that sounds like where Pat McAfee might be broadcasting from in Ireland today. It sounds like an Irish pub. You want to go have a couple of pints of Guinness at Rutger McRorty's? He played at Michigan. Again, NHL ready. Josh Yowie wrote in The Athletic that he views that guy as potential captain material down the road. The expectation is that this guy could play up and down the lineup. I mean, you're probably not going to start him on Crosby's left wing, but he could wind up there before the season's over. Also, I read in The Athletic that if you pulled 100 scouts in the National Hockey League, 80 of them would probably tell you that Rutger McRorty is a better prospect than Braden Jaeger. So you ask, why would the deal get made? Well, Rutger didn't want to play in Canada. He wanted to play in the United States. He wasn't going to sign there. And now he's signed with the Penguins, 3 years, $950,000 a season. So you got a 20-year-old player who's NHL-ready, who adds an element of physicality that you otherwise really don't have other than, like, Michael Bunting. And I think it's a steal because you get a better prospect who can play now, who gives you something you didn't have, and you took advantage of a situation there. I think it's a shrewd piece of business by Kyle Dubas, and it does not signify a rebuild, but it does fall in line with what he told us at the beginning of the offseason, which is he wants to get younger, and he wants to find some diamonds in the rough, and I think he did just that here. But make no mistake about it, while Rutger McRorty makes the Penguins better today than they were yesterday before this move, the Penguins are still rebuilding. Here are some of the things that Kyle Dubas got this year. 26 second-round pick. 27 second-round pick, a fifth-round pick, a 25 third-round pick. Cody Glass, who was the sixth overall pick in the draft a few years ago. He's only 25 years old. They got a 25 third-round pick, a 26 sixth-round pick. They've got 27 draft picks the next three drafts. Dubas came in last year, said he wanted to try to get the best out of the Penguins roster, make a push. And they go out there, and they get Carlson, and they got rid of a lot of bad players. And that element of the trade was good, and I still think there's more meat on the bone with Carlson. I expect him to be better this year. He was down the stretch. But he went into this offseason saying, well, pretty much you got to keep an eye on the future. You want to be competitive now, but you want to keep an eye on the future. You can say whatever you want when you're an executive, and you can lie, but your moves tell the story. Getting Cody Glass, getting Rutger McRorty, having 27 draft picks the next 3 years, this is very much an organization that's not going to call it a rebuild, but they're absolutely rebuilding. And if that is the goal, I do think you have to like what Kyle Dubas has done this offseason. Two high upside players who are young, 20 and 25 years old, and you got a bajillion draft picks the next three seasons. That's how you turn a roster over when you don't have a lot of prospect depth. I think Kyle Dubas has done a pretty good job this offseason. There's just one pretty big question that remains. When the hell are they going to get pen to paper with a Sidney Crosby extension? All right, coming up next, we've got Brian Batko as we turn our attention back to football. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We look ahead to preseason game number 3 with Batko, and we'll take a peek ahead to the regular season as well. We want you back after this break. Schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. And right now, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.